Well, good morning, Christ the King. Good morning. I want to thank you for coming to worship. It's very chilly this morning. When I drove out from my house, it was in its 20s, and it'll warm up today. But I want to thank you for coming out today. And for those of you who are online and staying home and warm, I want to thank you for joining us today as you're having your coffee or enjoying us throughout the week. Thank you so much for choosing to connect with Jesus Christ today and throughout this week. As Pastor Craig mentioned a little earlier and he prayed for, I do want to pray. I'm going to lift up a quick prayer for all those who are suffering from COVID. As the care pastor here, I know there's been a lot of people in our congregation who are suffering from COVID or their family members. As far as I know, we don't have anyone right now who's hospitalized, but we just want to lift them up. And because we all know people who've been sick at this time period, and it's just hard right now. So let's pray real quick. Father God, we just lift up all those who are sick right now, those who are suffering from COVID and other illnesses. We ask you to be with them and their families, for the people that surround them, the communities that bring them food and groceries, Lord, to be with them, and for those who are needing some more extensive health care, to be with the doctors and the nurses and custodians and everyone else who helps support our medical needs, Lord. We just ask you to be with them. Help families to find peace and healing in the midst of all of this. And we ask these things in your son's most holy name, and God's children said, amen. So as Pastor Craig and Michelle talked about, we're in this middle of this Restoring Joy series. And we've realized that over the last year or two that we feel like our joy has been sapped. And joy is that gift from God that keeps going, that we return to God. It's not just happiness or a temporary feeling. Joy is how we live into life because of the Holy Spirit that is inside of us. And Pastor Craig has talked about the joy and what that looks like and how that means. And last week, Sarah did a great job talking about marriages and restoring the joy in our marriages. And today, we're going to talk about restoring the joy in our communities and friendships. And so as I was preparing for this sermon, I asked a couple friends and some people, text people and ask other people, what makes a good friendship, a community? What do you guys look for? And the first one really was, people said, was loyalty, in the sense of people are sticking together and meeting together and being together, and they're loyal to each other. Not like a false loyalty, which leads into the second one they said, but an honest loyalty. Is that, you know, you have loyalty to someone, but then there's also a sense of honesty. If something's going on in your life and you're struggling, you're going to have those friends, a community that kind of calls you out in a loving way about that too. So loyalty, honesty, tells you the truth, people that understand you. But then also a lot of people said someone to have fun with, people to have fun with. Community and friendship, it's not just about all the hard issues or the struggles or growing. It's also about having fun. And we've lost that sense of joy, how to have fun. And as we talk about communities and friendships today, all those are things that we need to be remembering in our heads also. And you know, they often say, you know, about friendships is, you know, you can't pick family, but you can pick your friends. And over the last year, 2 years really, we've seen divisions in our friendships sometimes in our communities develop, whether it's politics or masking or not masking or vaccines, racial issues, and quarantining, you know, being away from each other. It has harmed our psyche. It's harmed who we are, and it's stressed friendships. It's stressed families. And we're talking about that has sapped the joy out of our lives. And how do we bring that back today? I know for myself, in 2020, as COVID was sitting in, the first couple months weren't really that much of a struggle. We started meeting, you know, virtually, and we started working from home. And the youth director shared a house with me, so there was someone else in the house and stuff. But as it went on and on, you're working from home and, you know, even when you go to the grocery store, you'd go to Publix and, you know, you'd look down the aisle to see if no one else was down the aisle. I mean, we purposefully tried to stay away from each other, and it was a struggle. And it slowly led me into just a funk. And I'll say, you know, a mild depression because I'm not around people as much as I used to be. And I'm a people person. I like to be around people. And, you know, for a while there, it just took me down. My faith life and everything just sort of struggled a bit. And about that time, I started seeing a Christian counselor for a while to help me just through this funk because I realized I needed someone to speak to my life. And also at the same time, it's weird how God works. God answers our prayers. I'm going to tell you that. You know, is that Alan O'Neill and Don Simon, who two men in this church who don't know each other, both approached me about starting a community group for men. And they both had the same ideas, and they talked about it. And Don's going to come up on the stage in a little while and share, so I don't want to steal what he's going to say. But we talked about how men need to be able to grow together and the community and find community. And that's just not men, obviously. And so they started meeting. We started meeting, and Greg Kent soon joined us. There's four. And so that was in, I don't know, late summer 2020. And now there are 12 of us over the last year and a half as our community has grown. And I'll tell you, during that time, and I saw the counselor, and he really talked about how where I was because I wasn't in community. I mean, I had staff here, and I had friends, but I wasn't in a community that was helping me and pushing me to grow and to be a better man and reaching out to friends. And all of this was happening at the same time. And I realized that God worked through the community I joined to renew me and restore my faith. And I saw that counselor only for a couple months online. He's like, Bill, you don't need me anymore. And I realized that community brought the joy back in my life, gave me a sense of purpose to be able to deal with whatever is coming on. And the friendships I had, to be able to reach out to them and to be able to see friendships in our lives. But we've all had those struggles. We've all lamented the sense of loss over the last year. We've all had those experiences. Whether or not we've sought some help or counseling, we've all felt that loss of being together, that loss of worship together, of hanging out together, of meeting together. I had a friend recently talk to me. We were gathering, and she said, "Bill, we just don't gather like we used to. Why don't I have people over to my house?" And now, I'm not saying, God has given us a sense of logic and care and discernment. So if you're sick, if you're ill, and you need a distance, do it. Do it. But also, there's this call to be together. And she was talking about this, and I realized about the needs to be able to be together, and we don't. I haven't gotten together with my friends as much as I used to. And so there's this idea of that we need to be able to work together and to be able to move together forward. And it's affected us too. A couple years ago, we had about 40 community groups. And starting this fall, the spring, sorry, in January, we're going to have about 20, 22 community groups as we try to be able to help people get together, whether it's through Zoom or whether it's in person. But Scripture talks about this idea too. Scripture talks about, and we're going to dive into this, of how if we are calling ourselves Christians, if we're following Christ, we need to be able to meet together to spur each other on. So I'm going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 1. And this is Paul writing to the church towards the end times. He's talking about how when Jesus comes again at the end to restore God's kingdom, how we should be living and what we should be doing together. And this is what it says. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 11. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. In other words, if we call ourselves Christians and following Jesus Christ, the end times, the coming, should not surprise us at all because, you know, we're living like we're children of the light. He says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, whether we are awake or dead, what does it mean by asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as, in fact, you are doing. There's a lot there. But basically he's saying you have a choice of whether to live in the darkness or whether to live in the day or light. And through this passage and through Galatians and other passages, these are the things that darkness means. That means you have hate, anger, envy, not meeting together, unforgiveness. We're called not to be like others who are asleep. We're not called to be dead to the world. And so all these things is what happens to the world that lives in darkness. And sometimes that's what happens when our joy is sapped, is we're kind of living in that darkness. Then it says for us as Christians to be children of the light and the day. And this is what it talks about. It means sober. It just not means being not drinking alcohol to an excess, but it means our judgment. How do we act? How do we comport ourselves? Do you have sober judgment? It means putting on faith. It not just doesn't mean like believing. It means that you wear your relationship with Christ. It means love. It means meeting together. It means building each other up. And protection from forces, from those evil forces that are in the world. I mean, who wouldn't want to live in the day and the light? So if we have Christ in our lives, we're called to live as children of the light, as children of the day. We're called to move forward in our lives and not to remember that what was in the past. So I want to talk about specific passages here. It talks about putting on the breastplate of faith and love. God's faith and love. A breastplate is what you wear on your chest. In ancient times, it was made of metal, and it protected you from the iron, the arrows, and other things that were thrown at you. And so it protected your body and your heart. And so of faith and love, we're called to put this breastplate on of faith in Jesus Christ and his love, and it protects us. And then it says on the helmet of salvation. So we're to put on that idea that we know we are saved through Christ, and that protects our head, again, from all those arrows and things that kind of come smashing at our head. Verse 9 says this, for God did not appoint you to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the suffering, the wrath, is because we're children of the light, living in Jesus Christ, the wrath is eternal damnation, you know, going to hell. And so we're called not to live in that or think about that. We're called to remember that because of what Christ has done for us, we know we have salvation through Jesus Christ. And we're called to put that on. He calls us not to squander our salvation. He calls us to be able to live it out in community and to be able to do it together. So, and then it says we are to build each other up. What does it look like to build each other up? And so if you have this salvation, if you're walking as children of the light, we're called to build each other up. And this is what it says. It says to love each other no matter what. To love each other no matter who someone voted for or didn't vote for. To love someone whether they're vaccinated or unvaccinated, whether they believe in whatever this is or this is over here, whether in school, whatever it is. No matter what color you are, love no matter what. Jesus Christ died for us. We're called to live that out, to self-sacrificially love each other. And I have seen that in several people in this congregation as we bring food by and drop food off for each other and phone calls. I've seen the love outpouring each other. But when we live in community, we're called to build each other up self-sacrificially, to meet together. Whether it's in person or virtually. And like I said, God gave us a sense of wisdom. And whether or not we need to meet with each other on Zoom or whether we can meet with each other in person, we have to start meeting together, start being together, start reaching out together to let the Holy Spirit draw us together. The Trinity, what we believe in, who is God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, live together in intimate community. You can't have one without the other. And that's what community does, is we're called to love like that, to listen to people, to celebrate with people, to mourn with each other, to pray for each other, to have fun together. These are the aspects of what it means to be able to build each other up and encourage each other. And this last verse, I never really quite saw this until I was looking at this for the sermon. This last verse, verse 11, says this, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. The assumption from the author, Paul, here is that if you're living the day in the light, is that you're already meeting together. That if you're not meeting together, then you're not really living the day in the light. is off. All these things are happening. You're meeting together. You have a sense of friends and community that is supporting you up. There's not a call to be just little Christians all hanging out together here, but who in your life is building you up in faith and life? Because when you meet together, your life will change. So the assumption here from Paul is that you are meeting together, and you're doing that. And so if we say we're living in the light, do we actually meet and encourage each other? Do we have fun? Do we are able to explore life and be there for each other, to mourn and to raise each other up? And as we think about that, there's another piece in Hebrews that I want to take a look at here in a moment. But how do we go from just meeting together to spurring each other on and encouraging each other? And that's what this passage talks about. This is Hebrews 10. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened us to the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let's draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled, cleansed from guilt and conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." Before we go on real quick, so it talks about the high holy place. So in the time of Jesus, the Jewish temple, Jesus was Jewish, they had this place called the Holy of Holies where God lived. They said God lived here, and only a high priest once a year went into this Holy of Holies. They tied a rope around him in case he passed out, they could drag the body out, because no one else could go into this place. There's this giant curtain there, and they sent the priest in to offer sacrifice for the sins of everyone. Well, Jesus on the cross, when it talks about in the scripture, he died on the cross, his body's torn, that curtain that separated the holy from holies from everyone else torn in two. And so his body, his death, tore that need to have a priest to go in and offer that sacrifice. We have a direct connection to God right now through the death of Jesus Christ. And that God in Jesus, because of his offering himself, he is that final high priest who offered that sacrifice. So we have that direct access to who God is what that's talking about in Hebrews. And then continues on in 23. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." So we're just not to like meet together. We're to encourage each other, to spur each other on to love and doing good deeds. "Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So because of this relationship with God that Jesus established through his death, and through breaking down that barrier to him, we're called to spur each other on in his love and his faith. He destroyed those things. And so we're called in this passage to have a sincere heart. In other words, we're free from the fear. We bring ourselves to him honestly. We could bring ourselves coming and knowing and trusting who God is. We realize in this passage that our bodies are pure, that we're washed in the blood of who Christ died for us, and our sins are forgiven. We're made holy, and we have free from guilt and sin. That's an amazing story. I mean, who doesn't think that's an amazing thing? And it says to spur each other on in this, to encourage each other in this. So because of all of this, he's called, said to support each other. Because the best way that we can support each other and care for each other and find community and restore that joy is sharing that faith we have. I know the group that I belong to, the men's group on Tuesday night, we spur each other on. We have this huge text chain. Yes, men text each other in groups back and forth about prayer requests and how we could help each other and support each other. And I know when I had COVID back in September, men from the group, well, maybe their wives, but men from the group brought me food. And, you know, they would leave it on the door, and they would knock or ring the door and tell me, leave it on the doorstep, back off, and, you know, run away yelling unclean, unclean. But that's what they did, because we care for each other, because the relationships we have, but also in Jesus Christ, we motivate each other. And again, we love each other unconditionally, never ending. We do good deeds. We reach out together in good deeds. We feed, we visit, we heal. We do that in each other's lives and in the communities around us. talks about meeting together again. Whether it's Zoom or dinner or playing ball together, shooting hoops or frisbee, meeting together in reality, it talks about how we're called to do these things. And it's hard, but it becomes a habit. One of the things that I realized, too, is community is not a one-deal option. You can't form a community by doing something once. Community means doing life together, because these passages don't say, spur each other on for a week or two, or meet for a week or two. It says to do that throughout each other's lives, because consistency is the key. And again, whether it's Zoom or whether it's live, to be able to see each other's face. My family in Washington, there's about 12 of them, some cousins and their kids, and one of their dads. And they Zoom together about every 2 weeks. They live kind of far away, but also for health reasons. They Zoom together every 2 weeks to check on with each other. I mean, how many of us do something like that? That's an amazing ability to be able to do. The technology we have is to be able to help each other be able to connect. So the call to love and live in community restores our joy to do life together. Does it have to be in person? Like I said, no. Because, like I said, technology has enabled us to be able to reach beyond just in person. But like the community groups we have and are forming, we have people in community groups here from other churches who don't go to churches that they're discovering who Jesus is. We have people in our congregation who belong to other community groups from other churches. And it's the ability to be able to gather, to love, and to care. And it's not always easy. You know, if you're coming home and you're feeding the kids, trying to get out by 7 o'clock on a night, or bring your kids with you. And so we do. We have several people who meet online to be able to do that, to offer those connections, to spur each other on. I'm asking Rachel Moeller, one of our high school students. She's a junior this year. And Marianne Thompson and Don Simon to come up here on stage real quick. And they're going to share about their experiences and community groups and friendships and how they spur each other on. And I'm going to drink some water from my San Francisco 49ers cup that beat the Green Bay Packers last night. So I just had to spur that on there for the Green Bay Packers fans. We love you guys. So obviously this is Marianne, and this is Don, and this is Rachel. And so let me get out of the way here. I'm realizing I'm blocking people. So Marianne, Don, and Rachel. So first of all, Marianne, you're part of a community group that's been meeting for about 5 years. But before that, that group birthed this group, right? So why did you join community groups, and what does it do for you, and what's it mean for you?
Family, if you want to. I have a really big mouth. I'm surprised people can't hear me.
Can I see this? Yeah, you're on.
Am I on?
Yeah.
Okay. My family and I have been at Christ the King for about 25 years. And community group, life group has been a culture here the entire time we've been here. So I initially went into a community group to learn and connect with other women that did not worship at the same time I worship. My family usually worships at 11. I didn't know anybody at 9:30. So that's initially how I got started in a life group. Then the community group that I was in got really big. So there was about 4 of us that spun off of that group and started our community group that we're in now. And there's 12 of us in that group now. And we've been together off and on. People come in, people come out. About 12 to 15 years that I've been with some of these ladies. So it's truly been a life journey for me. Deaths, illnesses, the birth of grandchildren, high school graduations, college graduations, you name it, and we've walked it together. So that's how I and have stayed in a community group.
Okay, thank you. Don, how about you? I mean, I told a little bit earlier, but why did you seek out community and help start this group, and what have you gotten out of it?
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm glad you didn't say the community group was a cause of the funk.
No.
Part of the remedy. But
it was God's working through that got me out of that.
I moved here in 2014, and as you can probably tell by my accent, you all have the accent, but I'm not from around here, y'all. But my wife and I joined CTK and started getting involved, but it just wasn't enough. I felt like joining a community group, as Bill mentioned, we got together and discussed it, but it was more out of a need than just something that was nice to have. And so I think it's part of the Christian life that you can't really live without. I mean, coming to church is one thing. Worship is part of being a believer, but walking with some other people, other men, especially was really good for me, just to be able to have some fellowship, to spur one another on, to be able to talk about things that men need to talk about. And so it was just something that I felt was missing. And so we reached out, and it's been together. I think it's been since the end of 2019. We skipped a COVID year there. But it's been great.
So, Rachel, you're part of our high school group and also a singer here, too. You're amazing. And, Rachel, so being part of the high school group, too, you guys have small groups every week. So, if you go to the group, I mean, obviously you go, you're part of the small group, but why you're faithful. Why do you stay in it? Why do you feel community group is important for even someone who is your age?
Well, when I first came to CTK, I really didn't have a faith, to be fair with you guys. I'm not going to lie. Lying in church is bad, so I'm not going to lie to you guys.
It is bad. Thank you for saying that.
But, my aunt would always push me and my brother to come to Crux, come and get involved in the youth group. And at that time, I was just, not interested, I kept going just to please my parents, give them some time away from me and my brother, because we're a lot. Not going to lie, me and my brother are a lot. But just being in this group with not only the high school girls that I'm with, but the other youth, it's just the way we carry each other and the way we can just handle and talk about things, especially on the mission trip, we went last summer, and just the way we all, I guess, are there for each other, because we're all going through the same things and experiencing the same things, whether we're in public school or in homeschool, we all kind of understand what each other is going through.
So thank you. But and also, how have you guys and ladies grown in your faith and friendship through your community groups? Marianne?
In our community group, we have several women that don't attend Christ the King. They don't attend church regularly anywhere. So we wanted to be able to welcome those people in and be in the Word with them. And it has really helped my faith be more focused on being who God wants me to be in their lives, and they are in my life. There was a lady that started in our group, and the day she started, she found out that she had breast cancer, and she was very sick. It was very bad. And so we started taking meals to her after she had her surgery, and her husband was like, "Who are these ladies? I don't even know them. They're bringing us food." And Kim, Kim's like, "Well, they're my community group." And it really showed me that how to be Christ-like in someone else's life. And there's ladies in that group that are Christ-like to me when I need it, because we all need it. So it has really helped me focus my walk.
Thank you. Don?
I think for me, it's helped me be more consistent in the Word. Our group studies books of the Bible, and somebody just recently picked Genesis, so I think we're going to be together for quite a while. It'll take a while to get through that. But also, just my hope has grown in the Lord, my relationship, to see my prayers answered and to see other people's prayers answered in our group as we pray for one another. That's been really cool. And in terms of fellowship, I feel like I'm in the middle of a circle with a bunch of people around me that I can turn to any one of them, and they'll be there to help when I need it. And another important thing I think we can forget is that we've got gifts to give others. So it's very much a mutual thing. It's good for me to give of myself, and God's given us all gifts and talents that don't just belong to us, so we get to share them with the others in the group. So that's been really good.
Thank you. Rachel?
We can all be raw and real with each other. Like, if we're all going through something that is, well, not all of us, but like, if one of us is going through something, we can be there for each other. And we're like, hold on, I forgot the question. What's the question?
The question was... was how have you grown in faith and friendship through community?
Just being able to,
Have you grown in faith and friendship in, because of the community that you're in? Have you?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Sorry. Yes, I am, sorry.
You but, nodded your head, but I just, you know, we're recording this, so we want it to be a verbal thing, too. No, it's all right.
But so. Just being able to grow with each other and being able just to be real and raw with each other, like, if we all might have the same question or might be experiencing the same thing, Christ-wise, life-wise, community-wise, we're not afraid to bring it up. We're not afraid to address it. And if one of us has something on their heart, like, we will devote time, and we have a rule in my group is no apologizing. Like, there's absolutely no apologizing if you, you know, spend way too much time that you feel on a subject that you, you know, you have your heart set on and that you want to talk about. Our group are like, we're not apologizing. There's nothing to be sorry for. If that's what Christ has put on your heart to talk about, then that's what Christ has put on your heart to talk about.
It's awesome. So if someone, what's one thing real quick, if for someone who's not in community, what's one thing that you would encourage them about it, about being in community?
Me?
Yes, Marianne, you're first.
Okay. It is a good renewal during the week. You know, we're all here on Sunday, and then we go to work or we stay home with kids or whatever, but the world invades us. And my group, we meet on Wednesday nights, and it's so renewing to be focused in that word with a group of ladies and just really diving deep, and it renews us. Yes, Wednesday is the middle of the week, but it gives us that extra push that we need to, you know, just conquer whatever we need to conquer for the rest of the week. And it just, it keeps me on track, and I look forward to it every week, just fellowshipping with these ladies.
Awesome. Okay. Rachel? Welcome back to Don. So, Rachel, one of the questions new in your head is, you know, what would you encourage people, students who aren't in community or community groups? What's like a sentence or two that you would say to them?
A sentence or two? Okay. But I'd say just go for it, you know, because especially how we are, the times we are now, mm-hmm. and it's just me who didn't grow up with a community group and didn't grow up. Yeah, we went to church, but we always church hop. Mm-hmm. So being able to come to a community with kids my age
right.
and people I necessarily don't go to school with. So it's just like Marianne said, it's just like renewing, it's reviving, and it's just like being with these people. It's just great. Like, and just being with people. I don't know.
Awesome. No, that's great. That's great. You did a great job. Don, how about you?
I would say, a different way of living and more joy and more hope is only a phone call or a mouse click away. I mean, there's a verse in the Old Testament that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'd say taste and see that a community group will be good for you.
Right. Okay, well, thank you guys and so much. And, you know, as you're walking off the stage, you know, community is literally, I felt like, saved my life. It's moved me. It's changed me. The first community group I belonged to is the reason why I'm a Christian now. They loved me into the kingdom. Is that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, worked through those people to be able to love me into the kingdom. And there's those formal community groups we have. But like the worship team is a community group too. And, you know, joining a team here, joining a group is able to help spur us on, as it's talking about. It's to be able to live in community, to restore that joy. You're not alone. And in today's world, helping us to realize we're not alone. We're walking together. And that's what it's about. And the world desperately needs more and more of us to be able to spur each other on, to meet together, to love each other, to support each other, to be able to tell the truth to each other. And so if you're not in a group right now, I'd encourage you to go online. There's a flyer that you probably received when you came in. Look at the QR code or go online to ctkcharlotte.org. And for those of you online, a lot of our groups have a Zoom option. And so check them out. Or there's groups that are only online. And I would encourage you to be able to join something. Or whether you come in person and watch online, we're open to that. But the important thing is to be able to connect it to the body of Jesus Christ. Because we're all part of that. And if you have more questions about that, I want to encourage you to go to the information booth out there. Paul and Karen Clark will be glad to answer any questions, help you get signed up for a community group. But it is something that has changed people's lives. And in this time period, it's time to start setting COVID aside, start setting divisions aside, and come together as the body of Christ. Because that's what about, that will change the world. That will bring people to know who Jesus is. And that's why we're called to be here. If at the end of the sermon here, the message here, we're going to have Simone Cedillo and I'll be up here. If you have prayer, I want to encourage you to come up. Prayer about anything that's going on in your life, sickness, health, if you've been moved by the message, if you're accepting who Jesus Christ is, come in and come up and pray with us. But let's go ahead and pray right now. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the people in our lives and the communities and the fellowships and the friendships that have discipled us, who've changed us, who've moved in us, Lord. Break down barriers now to meeting together, Lord. Help us to be able to gather, to care for each other, to love each other. Lord, I pray over this congregation as we kick off community groups for this winter and springtime, that they continue to feed people and lift people up and to move people onward and forward, Lord, for people to grow in faith and love and charity towards each other. We ask for just a blessing on everyone here who's watching online and who's here, Lord, and especially those who are home right now. Help them to get connected, to feel part of the larger body of Christ. Lord God, we just thank you so much for today. And we ask these things in your Son's most holy name, and God's children said, amen. So go forth and love each other and take the message of Jesus Christ out in the world. And we'll see you all next week.